Vanderbilt head basketball coach Kevin Stallings joins us now. Coach, what's going on this morning?
Not a lot. How are you guys doing?
We're doing well. Can your Cardinals find a closer?
I don't know. It doesn't. It doesn't feel good right now, but that's okay. We'll keep battling.
Well, now your basketball program has found some outstanding recruits. Tell us a little bit, at least what you can, about the guys you've been able to sign and how much you feel like they might be able to help your program.
Well, the guys that we signed this spring, Jeff Taylor is a young man from actually originally from Sweden and moved over here 2 years ago. His father is from Hobbs, New Mexico, and sent Jeffrey over here to play at the same high school that his father played at, who the father's brother is still an assistant coach. Jeff came over here and has had two very successful years and averaged about 31 points a game and led his team to the state championship this year in New Mexico. Very athletic type, small forward, a guy that knows how to play, plays very, very hard, high energy level, very good competitor, really likes to win, and obviously has a knack for scoring the basketball. We think Jeff could impact our team immediately. Again, a lot of guys could impact our team immediately. When you lose three starters, that's just sort of the opportunity that exists for anybody that's coming in. But and then the other guy we signed this spring, Brad Tensley, kind of a long story with Brad, but we tried to recruit him last summer, offered him a scholarship. He ended up signing with Pepperdine in part because his AAU coach was hired there as an assistant coach. The staff got fired this year, so Brad was released from his letter of intent and reopened his recruiting. And I think our presence last summer really helped us this time around. A number of Pac-10 schools and SEC schools and ACC schools recruited Brad, Brad is a point guard that's about 6'4" that can also play the two. He's an outstanding shooter and passer, so his shooting skills and passing skills will certainly give him a chance to impact our team immediately as well.
What about the other two guys?
The guys they signed in November, we signed a power forward from Cameroon, but he played high school ball in Houston, and then this year played at Mount Verde Academy in Florida. His name is Steve Changang, and Steve's about 6'9", great body, real long arms, shoots the ball well from he's got very good range from deep. The new three-point line shouldn't be an issue for him. Plays very hard, plays physically, is a guy that's got a chance to obviously have an impact because of Ross's departure and had a very good year at Mount Verde this year. And then Lance Goldburn is a guy that's about, he's kind of a combo forward, about 6'8", he's actually from Brooklyn, went to the Hunt School up in Princeton, New Jersey, one of the finest academic high schools in the country. Lance will, for the first time, be devoting all of his time to basketball. He's been an outstanding tennis player, a nationally ranked tennis player as a 15-year-old, the tallest ball boy ever in the New York or the U.S. Open. So, but Lance is a great athlete, both he and Jeff are probably as good athletes as we've ever had here. So, their athleticism will certainly do something for our team. But really excited about Lance. Lance is a very mature kid who understands the big picture and has already lived away from home, going to high school and that sort of thing. Matter of fact, as has Steve, as has Jeff for that matter. But we're excited about the class and think that all four of them, at varying degrees, will have opportunities to make an impression on our team next year.
Now, was it just the picture that I saw? Does Jeff Taylor bear somewhat of a resemblance to Joakim Noah?
No, I've had somebody else say that too, and no, there's some resemblance, and I hope there's some resemblance in the quality of their play.
Are you going to grab a ball from him in practice just for laughs?
Jeff's a very laid back guy, and I think he's a great competitor once the game starts. So that'll be a similarity between he and Noah, but. I won't grab it from him unless he grabs it from me first.
Somebody had to ask that question, I guess.
Hey, Kevin, I want to ask you too. I want to ask you too because a friend of mine from Lexington was talking about this kid that's Jordan Smart. That's is he still going to walk on for you?
Yeah, we actually may end up giving Jordan a scholarship for this year. But yes, he is still coming, whether he walks on or whether he's given a scholarship for 1 year. And as it stands, Mark, we only will have 11 guys on scholarship, which is fine with us. So we may actually put Jordan on scholarship this year for 1 year. But in any event, we have 11. That's right. But Jordan is actually, I guess I'm not allowed to comment on him because he's other than that, because he hasn't signed a letter of intent. So I would be breaking rules if I said any more, I think.
Okay. Enough said.
Vanderbilt coach Kevin Stallings is our guest. And you hear about a certain program to our north recruiting kids out of eighth grade and ninth grade. In general, as far as, you know, looking at kids that are not even in high school yet, how do you feel about that sort of thing? And do you think there should be some kind of rules that prevent college coaches from, you know, having contact with prospective players until at least they're, you know, say a sophomore in high school?
And by the way, Kevin, my 6-year-old's vertical is just unbelievable.
He has a great jump shot, yeah. Too.
I went to an eighth grade graduation celebration last night of my daughter's at Brentwood Academy, and I just can't imagine college coaches hovering around the celebration in an attempt to get next to a kid to sign him. So, I think common sense needs to prevail. And unfortunately, that's why we have all the rules that we have, because over the years there's been no common sense exerted. And the excesses and things that are the reasons why we have, you know, really some ridiculous rules in some cases. But unfortunately, we as coaches are the ones that force the implementation of those rules. I think it's pretty unhealthy for us as college coaches to be offering eighth and ninth grader scholarships. Now, you know, I do think that there comes a point where it's obvious with some kids that they're going to be good enough, et cetera. But I think that, you know, I don't know that I would say they have to be as sophomores, but, you know, I certainly think that they need to be entered into high school and that sort of thing, because it just sort of violates the as I tell my coaches all the time, you have to operate your program with common sense, and it just sort of violates my idea of where common sense and rationale comes in, and there are no rules against it. There's nothing wrong with anybody doing it in terms of legislatively how we're set up, so you can't be critical of one of your colleagues or whatever for doing something like that, but I don't think it's healthy for our game, and it's not healthy for those kids as they grow up.
I want to get back to your team just in terms of the dynamic it creates down low, where suddenly you have a player, A.J. Ogilvie, who most teams would tend to double, and now you bring in this talent, and if these players are what you think they are, it creates really a win-win situation for them and for A.J.
Well, Mark, I think that our staff has really done a nice job in the last few years of continuing our efforts to upgrade our talent level. AJ was obviously a significant part of that, and so with the guys that we've added this year and the other guys that we have in the freshman class and so on and so forth, I think that you're right. I think that we've got some things going now to where once we grow this team up, I don't expect us to be ready to contend for a national championship in next November or December or anything, but I really believe once we have a chance to get these guys in our incoming freshman class and our upcoming sophomore class some real experience, I think we have a chance to have an outstanding team and one that's maybe as good as any one that we've ever had here. So there's going to be some growing pains involved, but I think in terms of our team's flexibility, if Festus continues to come and become the kind of player that he has indicated that at some point he will be, there's a weapon of a guy that's 6'10" and has a wingspan of 7'5", that is going to change how the game is played around our basket defensively. And so we're accumulating, some different kinds of talents that we've had in the past. And it's going to be exciting to see where it all leads.
All right, I know you saw the O.J. Mayo story, but the question I want to ask you off of it is, stressing the importance for coaches in your situation and everybody else's of knowing who your players are associating with, checking to see if they get that plasma TV or that major wardrobe upgrade, and you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, I think that, and I know some people, you know, involved in that particular situation, but there's a part of that story that I think there's a significant amount of error with. However, to hit on your point, I think that as a coach, you have to maintain as close contact as possible with your players. You have to understand what their means are and if those change in any way, shape, or form. And you have to be very, very alert to things like that, particularly when you have a guy with the profile of an O.J. Mayo. And so it's easy to turn your head and ignore what might go on. I think generally speaking, we really try to do a good job of laying out the groundwork of what our expectations are of our players, what they're really, what they're really kind of allowed to think is reasonable, and for them to understand what is completely unreasonable, and anything that they take from, you know, whether it be a donor, a fan, an acquaintance, obviously is off limits, and we go to great lengths to make sure that our players understand that.